Well, good morning to you all. Happy 4th of July. I'm sure some of you already heard fireworks, what I've heard already. And so, but I don't think I've heard too many in our area for some reason. Maybe they always go to State College or something like that to do that stuff. I'm not sure. But great to have you here. And you know what's wonderful? We went on this vacation, and that's a praise to the Lord that we're able to travel back east to New York and Boston and see some historical places. Also, going on to Maine and then visiting family in New Hampshire and Massachusetts, which was a real blessing. Kind of a trip where we hopped a lot, but to me, you know, sometimes you just have to do that, you know, and just see different places. We haven't been back there since 1998 before we left for Thailand. So it's just one of those things that was just bringing old memories back. And that and stuff there. So it was just a great trip and something that really, really made me feel very happy and freedom ring. As I was traveling up here to the church, I didn't have to stop at a red light. I don't know if all of you understand that have been here, but we've been stopping at a red light for a few months now on that one bridge, and now it's clear. So praise the Lord for all those guys that were men and women working on that bridge and getting that done, and just we rejoice in that and rejoice in freedom that we don't have to stop. I don't like red lights. If you knew me, the world would be a lot of roundabouts and just go for it type stuff, okay? Just forget the red light stuff. We'll work it out. So today we're in the Word. We're in Luke chapter 8, and I'm sure you've read this a few times yourselves, the parable of the soils. Actually, I gave it a different name as I was reading this. I said, this sounds like a weed out sound, story. You know, if you ever have a garden, and I know whenever we have a garden, weeds grow. And you can pull them, and you can poison them, and you can blow them up. Weeds will come back. All right, so they're always there. But it's not really about those type of weeds. Also, I know that I've been in college, and some of you guys are there right now, and some of you are going there, or some of you are thinking about going there, and some of you have been there. There's some classes that are so difficult for you, and you kind of wonder why. Well, I started scratching my head and thinking, they don't want me here. They don't want me in this class, truthfully, and we call it the weed out. You're getting weeded out. So if you don't have the perseverance in the heart and you don't really want to be there, you're leaving. You join the Navy SEALs and you try to go through that training, they're trying to kick you out. They don't want you there unless you can handle it, right? And in college, the same way, and other sports teams, organizations, other entities, stuff like that, they're looking to see if you got the heart to persevere. Do you have it or not? It's kind of like that make or break type thing. You know, you're going to, you know, what's going to make it and what's going to break it? Well, usually it comes down to your heart, where you're at. Do you really want this or not? You know, and so, you know, the weed out process is difficult, but there's some good things about it, because a lot of times you don't really want somebody on your team in the military or elsewhere who really just don't want to be there. You know, or you don't want them in your organization unless you really know that they are there and they're for it and they're learning and growing and they're at their best. So, you know, so the weed out has some things about that that are important. They're not comfortable to go through, but it's important to go through for us to see where we are, yourself, in that situation. Is this really what God has called me to? Or if you didn't know God at that point, which I didn't know when I was going through college, you know, do I have it to keep going? Well, I didn't. I dropped out of architectural school. I dropped out because I found out that I was going insane because I can't sit down for long hours like architects sometimes have to do. So I found out that actually I had to get back to something I really loved, and that was sports, you know, teaching physical education and working with kids, people with some type of disabilities and stuff like that. It was just something that God called me to, but I was just going, no, until he finally weeded me out of this one thing and said, this is the direction I have you going right now. So, you know, so I praise him for that, for turning me around. Because otherwise I'd just be wasting more and more years going down the wrong path. Jesus, as it says here in chapter 8, you know, this is a time that his popularity was at its peak. All right, he had his disciples. He had the women were traveling with him, and they were supporting the ministry. It was just a real good thing going on there, and there's just crowds just coming from all different places to hear him preach and teach, and there's, you know, people were coming from all around. Now some people were probably coming there to hear him, to hear his words, because they were hungry. They knew his words had power and authority. Some were going there to, you know, for healing. Some were going there because they think of the Messiah, this guy's going to bring rebellion. We're going to take out the Roman government. You know, they had those expectations. Some people came there just to be entertained. Oh, let's see Jesus do some more of those miracles we talk about. And some people are just there because they don't know. They're just following the crowd. So you have these crowds, and they're all a mixture of people in there. And Jesus knows this. He knows people's hearts. And so, but this is that time. And when Jesus and all these people were around him and he's speaking, you know, he had a perfect opportunity to start speaking, preaching, teaching rebellion against the government, the Roman government. Right? He could have did that, but no, he did not. Because he knew what was much more important, and that was the kingdom of God. And so he told a story instead. So let's pray before we go on with that. Father God, we come before you this morning filled with praise and thanksgiving unto you for what you have done for us and what you are doing and what you will do. And we just thank you for your word. We pray that you just open our hearts and minds to the wonders of who you are. The joy of knowing you, and to worship you, and to come together in your name, and to be called one of your own. Bless this time, Lord. Bless this word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Guide my thoughts and understanding, and speak through me by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray, that you will receive all the honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Church growth philosophy or theology or methodology or whatever you want to call it, a lot of people are saying, well, you got to have a good evangelist, somebody out there with charisma and all that stuff, and then you got to have these strategies out there in your programs and all that and all the things that you do and everything. But today we're going to learn a little bit more really what causes church growth. Okay, because if you look at this simple story. See, a parable is mainly a simple story that's easy to understand, but there's more to it, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But Jesus decided just to tell a little story about a guy, a farmer, out there with some seed, and he starts tossing it, and it lands in all different types of soil. All right? And the sower could be anybody. In fact, it's us, if you really break it down. It's every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We are the sowers of the seed. That is the Word of God. So you got the sower in there, and whoever that is. And you got the seed, which is the Word of God. And you got the soil. And the soil represents the condition of the hearts of the listeners. And as we've seen in the story, there's a lot of different types of soils. And we've all been there, I'm sure. Some of us maybe longer than others at one point or another. But one thing that really reminds me and touched me as I was going through that is right when Jesus, after he's told the story Verse 8, the last part of verse 8, he says this, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And he called out. And I was looking at that in other translations too. In the NLT, it says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. That brings it out a little bit more clear for me. And then I went to the message, and it comes down to the message, say, are you listening to this? Really listening? See, Jesus knows the hearts of man. Right? He knows where we're at. And when he's teaching and preaching, he's seeing where our hearts are. And he's asking this question. He's really, really challenging us. Are you really listening to this? Because I know when I listen to music, I like the melody, and I pick up some words and stuff like that, and I kind of, oh yeah, that was good, that was good. But if somebody asked me, what was that, you know, that song about, I'd probably go, I need to go look at the lyrics again, you know, I need to see them on paper, you know. So, you know, when you're listening, you know, talking about this one about, are you listening, are you understanding, it takes some effort. It's not just listening and just let it come in here and then go out there, which a lot of seminars I've been to happen like that, except for a few little nuggets. But when you really put your heart into it, when you really open your heart and you listen to that song and you listen to the lyrics, and then somebody asks you, what was it about? You'd be able to give them a good, clear summary of what that message was about, what that song was about. But it takes some effort. It takes a willingness to listen and to learn. Well, we've talked about the weed out phase. Did Jesus use that method as well? He certainly did. See, when he was doing this, giving this parable, he knows all the different type of hearts out there. All these men and women coming for all different reasons. And he knows that he cannot have nobody who is detached or who is just barely listening is ever going to come into the kingdom of God. His heart that everybody will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so he's speaking these parables for a surprising reason. One of the reasons I came up with here, and I'm just reading about this, is saying, you know, in the message, it has the disciples asking Jesus, why did you tell this story? Good question. Why did he? Why didn't he just preach rebellion? Or why is he telling this story? Or why doesn't he just teach regularly? Well, from that point on, he started using parables more and more. For a reason. The reason is this. He stated back there in Isaiah, it says that 6:9, and if I just paraphrase it, it says, the reason I tell these stories is to make it harder for them to understand. That's strange, isn't it? He's telling a story so it's really hard for you to understand. You know. So if I put up a picture up there of vector calculus, he said, hey, go at it. Work it out. Work out that problem. I know one of my brothers could, but me, I'd probably sit there and go, no, sorry, I can't do it. I wouldn't even think about it. I'd just start going, oh, maybe Chris could probably work it out. But, you know, I could probably go 1 + 2, you know, and things like that. I can do the basics, but coming in at anything more difficult, it would take a lot of effort. And then, see, that's what Jesus is after. See, when he teaches and preaches the word, he's distinguishing. He's making distinguishing between those who are true seekers of this kingdom and those who are casual observers. He wants to make that distinction. He wants us to feel like we're being weeded out of that group, or that, you know, you're a weed in a garden and you're being pulled on. He wants you to feel that, because if you don't know where you're at with Him, we're in danger, right? We're in danger of hell. A lot of people are walking around out there, they don't really know what's going on. They're living their lives, they got their little kingdoms being built for themselves, but they don't really know what we're talking about this morning, this great God, the Holy Spirit, you know, moving, and His will be done. His kingdom is going to come. And Jesus desires everybody to be a part of that. So He's challenging them. And so He tells these little stories, and you go, oh, they're so simple and nice. But really, when you look at them, they're not so simple. Because in verse 9, do you see what Jesus said there? His disciples asked Him what this parable meant. Oh, sorry, verse 10. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. There are secrets in those parables that only God can reveal to humans. We can try all we want to look at these and break them up, all these little parables and things that He tells and stuff, but we will not get to the truth of it, to those secrets, until God reveals it to our hearts. And that takes hunger. That takes perseverance. That takes somebody who's willing to ask questions and keep pursuing answers. That's not that guy that sits out there and just listens and goes, oh, that's nice, and what a miracle. Oh, no miracles today. I'm going home to eat my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. No. He's looking for people who are ready to just put their effort in and go after it, to open their hearts, to get humble, knowing that they're not God, He's God. His Word is the one that gives life. So these secrets have to be discovered, but only by God's grace to us. Just like the prophet Daniel, God revealed things to him. The prophet Hosea, and you know, even Zechariah, talking this morning. I mean, God revealing these things. They're just much more than what we can understand on our own. But when we seek with a true heart, oh, He'll speak to you. And He'll reveal these secrets to you. Life-giving secrets for you and for those around you. And that's what He's after. You know, as we were traveling around Maine and even New Hampshire, they have these lighthouses out there. And I thought, oh yeah, you gotta have lighthouses. So these ships out there, you know, out there on the sea, especially in a stormy weather or at nighttime, it's dark, they don't have the stars to go by or whatever. You know, it's good to have that light. It's good. But I did not know that each lighthouse had a different light. Either it fluctuated differently, it did something different. So those ships could tell exactly where they were. Oh, we're in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Oh, now we're close to Acadia National Park, you know, that type of thing. You know, I when I think about God's Word and what He has us to do with it, it's to do the same thing, to be those who will be so different, but to be able to proclaim those truths that will speak to hearts, people who are seeking, people who might not even know they're seeking. But then they get hit by a storm, and then there's the light. There's the light. But we must remember that it takes effort. You know, Jesus is looking for people who are hungry for His Word. Even video gamers, okay? I know I do a little bit of that. You get on these new games, you don't get them just like that. You have to learn those little tiny secrets. Those little things, that so you can start getting past those first and second and third levels, and you go up to the higher levels, you've got to learn it. You've got to put some effort in it. You've got to be sweating sometimes on some of those games that are so difficult, right? And hunters, I mean, you guys, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know much about hunting, but I'm sure you got all these little tricks and all these little nuances that you use to be able to get that deer or whatever you're going after. And when you teach your children the same thing, you're giving them those little tiny secrets that only you can reveal to them. So not only do you grow, but then you can do the same. You pass it down. So he reveals these secrets, not for us to keep, and we'll learn a little bit later on about that, but to pass it on. There's so much more, you know, in that. If you looked at Hosea chapter 4, though, see, there's a problem. And Jesus knows what it is. It's our hearts. And here, Hosea, you know, God is speaking through Hosea to the kingdom of Israel and Judah. It says, I'm just kind of going through a short version of it. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God. Why? Because they don't have understanding. Later on, he says, a little bit later on in those verses, he says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. And then it goes on a little bit later in that chapter, it says, my people are ruined because they do not understand. See, a lot of us just want to go into that classroom and, you know, Randy was talking about his chemistry class. He just want to sit in there and just listen to the professor and maybe listen to some tunes on the side or whatever else and just, you know, just fudge your way through that class to get past it. But if you had to use that knowledge into your job, then you're in trouble, right? You won't know everything that you needed to do. You know, you won't know how these chemicals mix and start a fire and how to put it out correctly or make it even worse. Right, Randy? That type of stuff. You know, and so same thing here. See, knowledge doesn't just come from just sitting around and just taking a little bit in. And, you know, some of us, you know, for me, I'm a generalist, you know. I know a lot of different things, but I don't know them really close, you know, except for the Word of God. And that's, I'm still a lot of long ways from that as well. There's a lot to learn there, always. But, you know, what you're going to apply yourself into, you have to put the effort in. You actually have to open up and really learn and grow in it and get the understanding. And when the understanding comes, that's when things start changing. People say, well, why is our government so far off right now? Why is there so many difficulties? Well, you want to know why? Let's go to the communities all around in the United States, and you'll find out why. It's godless. It's without knowledge of God. There's no acknowledgement of God. There's no faithfulness. You go to the employers of these companies, you talk to them, these people are jumping in and out of jobs all the time. It's hard for them to find a faithful worker these days. No love. Do you see love out there? Not a lot. Especially if you want to listen to the media and other things too. I mean, sure, if you walked around the country and you met people like when we did on our trip, there's a lot of nice people. But without knowledge and without understanding, we'll be ruined. Without knowledge of God and understanding who He is and who we are in Him, we will be destroyed. We will go to hell. Plain and simple as that. In Hebrews chapter 3, God put it in the heart of the writer to say this. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. So true. You hear his voice. Don't harden the hearts. That's one of the things that causes us to not grow in knowledge or understanding. We just say, no, I don't want this. I'm not here yet. I'm not ready. And that's what a lot of the people are that we talk to about Jesus, or when Jesus was talking to these crowds and teaching and preaching them. You know, you'd think the greatest teacher and preacher of all, you know, there's just millions of people be coming and falling down his feet and receiving him as their personal Lord and Savior, but they did not. Because they weren't ready. A lot of them weren't ready yet. And he knew that. And that's to the praise of his grace and mercy and his patience for us. And in Romans 1, going back to that, verse 18 and 20, talking about how man suppresses the truth. It's just our wickedness. We just can't handle the truth because it shows us up for who we truly are. Gaining that knowledge is dangerous sometimes. It's humbling. It's humbling. So when Jesus taught that story, he taught it to really to show us where we are. Show those people where they were. They might not even understand that. They'd probably just go, oh, well, Jesus, that was a fun story. I got to go home. I got to do some grocery shopping. And some of them going, Jesus, teach me more. Why did you tell that story? Can you tell me the meaning of that parable? See, that's where the hunger, you see it. You see it growing. That's what he's looking for. See, the church growth really doesn't rely upon the evangelist as much, does it? More and more, you can see where church growth comes from. You know where it comes from? Where? What? Give me an answer. Okay, you got to have hearts, ready hearts, right? Readiness. What else? What else? You've got to have the seed. Without the seed, you don't have anything else. The sower, it could be anybody. It could be Franklin Graham, Billy Graham, could be all these great evangelists and stuff like that. It could be Joe Blow like me. Or you. We're the sowers of the seed. The seed is what makes things grow. It is out there, and then the readiness of the hearts of the people, there's that connection there to where God's grace will abound and give you that gift of faith, and to where we'll grow and produce that hundredfold crop. The Word of God. See, he goes on to teach a little bit further in verse 16 about this lamp. Why did he do that? You know, because Luke is writing this, right? And he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So why is he talking about the lamp on a stand? Well, you know, I tell you why. Because the lamp is the Word of God. And he's telling us, don't put it under. Oh, Pastor White would be very unhappy with me. Don't put it under. Get it up. Get it out there. Just like those lighthouses out on the rocky shores of Maine and New Hampshire and other places around the world. Shine it. Don't be a miser with it. You've got it. You've got the truth. You've got the Word of God. I know we're still learning. We're growing our understanding, but we've got what we need to be able to proclaim that to others, to pass it on to others, to shine it for others. He's saying, do this. Just like the sower, he threw the seed. He could have kept it in his bag, ate it. He tossed it, just like the lamp. Shine. And then he goes out further. Oh, Jesus' mothers and brothers, what does this have to do with this? Why is he teaching about this now in this time? Well, if you look at it really close, you know, his mother's brothers going over there because they were concerned for him, and he was amongst all these people teaching them. But he just said, you know what, guys? He says, somebody said, hey, your mother and brothers are out there. He looked around and he goes, oh, these are my mothers and my brothers. Those who hear God's word and put them into practice. hear, listen, understand, knowledge, put into practice. That is what Jesus is calling us to do as his followers. So what do we do with that? Well, do you feel like you're being pulled on, getting weeded out before a holy God? Are you feeling like you're soil number one, where it gets under rocks, but immediately the birds pick it away from you? You know, then come before Jesus and ask for forgiveness and receive him in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Do it. As you hear his voice, his word now, respond to it. Don't harden your heart. If you're soil number two, and you know it starts to grow and things are going pretty good, but a little bit of tough times come up on you, and it just you know, I can't do this. You know, see, there's people who receive Christ, but there's so much pressure on them not to follow Christ. And if you go to other lands like Thailand and other areas too, maybe even in the United States more and more, you know, they don't want you to know Jesus. They don't want to hear about Jesus. And the pressure builds up. Then they're going to find out if you're soil two or not. Soil three, you know, and this is a challenge for me, okay? And I think probably for a lot of us. Soil three, you know Christ, you're walking in it, but this world is right in your face. There's entertainment. And there's all sorts of things coming and distracting you and saying, no, I want your number one time. I want this. I want, you know. And I tell you, I struggle with that a lot. Where's God as the priority? Am I being choked out? I feel like sometimes I am being choked out. And I lose that time with God that's so precious. I forget that I need to put him number one priority and not my iPad. Spend time with him and his word and listening to him instead of listening to this sports program or whatever. It's a challenge. And soil number four, we all hope to be there, and hopefully we are even part of that right now, producing others, believers, right? Being out there, being the sower of the seed and watching God raising others up into his kingdom. Not because of us, just because we are faithful sowed seers. Remember what Lisa said, it takes the heart as well. We can sow the seed, but it also takes a ready heart. You can throw the seed to all those around you until they are really ready to receive it. It's still just going to be taken by the birds or choked out or you know, getting hit by the sunlight and it just melts away. But don't give up. Because I used to be that way. I used to be that way. I used to be soil one and soil two. But people kept on tossing the seed. And there's a time when God broke me. When I finally said, oh yeah, you are God, not me. That's where my heart softened, and that's where I started to take off and follow Christ. Let's pray. Father God, again, your word speaks. I can't even cover 90% of it. Because it's so precious and it's so wonderful in it. It's living and it's active and it's got secrets that need still to be discovered. That only you can reveal. Lord, open our hearts. Lord, there's Sunday school classes. There's the Bible that we can have right in front of us, Lord, daily. We can be in the Word. We can go to Sunday school. We can go and form small groups to be able to learn about you. We can continue to be those with the knowledge that we have to share that with others, and we grow in understanding of who you are as we do that. Lord, help us to examine our hearts. and see where we are, what soil number we are, what soil, what grade of soil are we? And help us to pursue that soil that produces a bumper crop. And we know that we can't do that on our own. We need you. We need your Spirit to move us, to help us to be soft and ready. Ready. And as some people say, and I won't say their name, just do it. Just do it as what you have us do for you. Because we love you so much, because of your great love for us. Thank you for this wonderful time together in your word. Praise you and thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. And all his people say, Amen.